Today on Jay Sekulow Live, striving for a more perfect union. It's time for responsible police reform. We're going to tell you how to get activated.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And so what does this package do? Three major areas. One is on the area we have to have the right information so that we can direct our resources as a federal government to making sure that the outcomes lead to safer officers and safer suspects in the instances of challenges.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
After the hearing, I had multiple Democratic colleagues come up to me and say, let's try to reconcile our differences. To the American people, after the hearing, I am more hopeful than I was before the hearing that there's going to be a genuine effort to bring reform to a problem that's been going on well before President Obama. And if we don't do something about it, it's going to go on well past President Trump.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
So we are talking about the Justice Act proposed and sponsored by Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, supported by almost all Republicans, if not every single one of them, in the United States Senate, and certainly Majority Leader McConnell, who has an aggressive schedule for this. Now, we've got a bit of breaking news right before we went on the air today live. First, you know, we had Chuck Schumer coming out, the Senate Democrats, a minority leader in the Senate, coming out and saying, you know, we're going to oppose this. This doesn't go far enough. We're going to prevent this from even getting a vote, try to basically filibuster even having a vote on the actual legislation proposed by Senator Scott, which we support at the ACLJ, the Justice Act. But Than, just before going on air, breaking news, and it's Nancy Pelosi opening the door, surprise, surprise, who is disagreeing with Chuck Schumer because she wants to see this ultimately get to a conference so that there is legislation done.
Yeah, reports from Capitol Hill, Jordan. Speaker Pelosi just moments ago said, we'd like to end up in conference. That means a conference committee between a House bill and a Senate bill. That's how Congress is supposed to work. Jordan, that's a very different tone than we heard from Leader Schumer, who didn't even want to proceed to the Tim Scott bill. But Jordan, I will tell you, and I don't say this very often, Speaker Pelosi is correct here, because if you look at the House bill and you look at the Senate bill, Jordan, there is a lot of overlap. Are there areas of disagreement? Yes, they are. Those will have to be worked out. My guess would be that many of those issues would have to be left aside. But as we go through this bill, through the course of this broadcast, Jordan, there is a lot of agreement between the two bills. Speaker Pelosi is correct. These bills should end up in conference. But Jordan, how do you end up in conference? You have to pass a bill out of the Senate. How do you pass a bill out of the Senate? You have to debate it. And that will be the very first vote that the Senate has. Will they even agree to move to a debate on Tim Scott's bill? It looks like Speaker Pelosi is in favor of that debate.
But Than, what you've done, and we've got up now at ACLJ.org, this just posted, folks. I encourage you to, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, share this broadcast with your friends and family. We just posted a brand new blog, The Senate Can't Stay Silent. It's time to debate the Justice Act. And at the bottom of the blog, we have got the senators, Democrat senators, we believe you need to call directly to encourage them and ask them to vote to begin this important debate on the floor of the U.S. Senate for the Justice Act. And instead of just calling the switchboard, we've actually given you the direct number to their Senate office. So you can call Senator Cory Booker in New Jersey, Senator Bob Casey in Pennsylvania, Senator Chris Coons in Delaware, Kamala Harris in California, Senator Doug Jones in Alabama, Jeanne Shaheen in New Hampshire. There are more on our list. We've got this targeted list Than and our government affairs team have worked on of the Democrat senators. We need seven. We need seven if all Republicans vote in favor to move this to a floor debate. We need seven of these Democrat senators to vote with them. And so we've got at ACLJ.org a way for you to take action. And we've broken down exactly who you should be calling and their direct number to their office. So you're not just calling the Capitol switchboard. So that's at ACLJ.org right now. And the blog is, the Senate can't stay silent. It's time to debate the Justice Act. And we've also got a brand new petition up at ACLJ.org supporting this critical police reform. Sign that petition today.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. First, Than, I want to go right to you. Timeline, when is the Senate scheduled to have the first vote, the vote where it's required to get 60 votes so that there's debate?
Yeah, so explain this in sort of layman terms, Jordan, because there's going to be a lot of terms that our listeners hear thrown about. The first one they'll hear is something called the motion to proceed. Basically, the Senate has to pass a motion to proceed to begin debate on the bill. Now, Jordan, if the Democrats would agree to that, they could pass it by unanimous consent at any time. They could literally pass it today if they wanted to. But at this point, it looks like they are not going to do that. So Leader McConnell had to file something called cloture on the motion to proceed, and he did that yesterday. Jordan, it takes 2 days for cloture to ripen, which means to make it eligible for a vote. So that means tomorrow the United States Senate would be eligible to vote on that motion to proceed. Now, Leader McConnell has said he is going to give Democrats until Monday to think about this so that he's not going to force that vote until Monday. He thinks Democrats will come to their senses and agree to proceed to the bill and pass the motion to proceed by unanimous consent. But Jordan, that's the timeline we need to be looking for, because I got to tell you, I like Leader McConnell's optimism, but as I see the comments coming out of the Democrat caucus, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they are going to force a vote. They're going to filibuster beginning debate on the Justice Act, and that vote will likely be necessary on Monday. And Jordan, if it's necessary, as you said, it takes 60 votes. There are only 53 Republicans. So 7 Democrats have to decide that they are willing to have this debate. It does not obligate them to support the bill, Jordan. It just says this is an issue that is serious enough at this moment in our history that they are willing to debate these reforms. And whatever product comes out, then they can vote yes or no in the end. But on Monday, Jordan, it will take 7 Democrats to begin this debate.
7 Democrats, and up on ACLJ.org. This is an action show today, folks. So we want you to, if you are listening, we want you to make sure you remember to go to ACLJ.org if you're listening in your car and you're not able to go there right now. Or if you're on Facebook and Periscope, you can go to ACLJ.org right now while you're still watching this the show. And by the way, share the show. Click that share button on Facebook and Periscope. The newest blog, we've got two. One that posted last night. It is about the actual Justice Act. It's called Striving for a More Perfect Union, Time for Responsible Police Reform. This is about the Justice Act, which is actually the Just and Unifying Solutions to Invigorate Communities Everywhere, or Justice Act. And we'll walk through that on today's show about why we're supporting it. But we have put together a list of Democrats. Than and his government affairs team, his expertise in this, has put together a list of Democrats for you to contact. And they're all listed on the blog that we just posted called The Senate Can't Stay Silent. It is time to debate the Justice Act. That's right at ACLJ.org. So we ask you to take action. We ask you, one, to sign our petition calling for responsible police reform. This is a brand new petition up at ACLJ.org today. Second, we ask you to contact both of your U.S. senators. Just do that. Make sure you've contacted both your U.S. senators. It's only going to take a few minutes of your time to do that. And again, you know who your U.S. senators are. That's easy to find out. But we have listed for you targeted Senate Democrats. And I'm going to go through the names. By the way, on the blog, we have who the senator is, their name, what state they represent, and the phone number to their actual Senate office. So you're not going to be calling the switchboard. You'll actually get the number to their Senate office. So I'll start with some that we believe should be most targeted. Senator Cory Booker, Senator Chris Coons, Senator Kamala Harris, Senator Doug Jones, Senator Gene Shaheen. Gene Shaheen's New Hampshire, Doug Jones is Alabama, Kamala Harris is California, Chris Coons is Delaware, Cory Booker is New Jersey. Than, explain why, and there's more on the list, but I just want to explain why we've highlighted, if people could make just those five phone calls today, why they should make those five calls.
Yeah, there were several pieces of criteria we looked at, Jordan, but these five are probably going to be the most receptive because of the political atmospherics. Four of the names that you mentioned, all of them except for Kamala Harris, Jordan, are up for re-election. Now, you're going to notice a couple of moderates in that group, Chris Coons and Gene Shaheen, actually Doug Jones as well. Cory Booker, you might think that's a little bit of a surprise. Well, I would tell you his name is important for two reasons. One, he's up for re-election. Two, Jordan, he has been very vocal about this issue. And several of the proposals that are in this piece of legislation are things that he has specifically and repeatedly called on the United States Senate to do. So this is his opportunity to put action behind words. And that's why Kamala Harris is on this list as well. She's not up for re-election, but Jordan, she just finished trying to get the Democrat nomination by running on these matters. She has a history as a prosecutor, so she knows both sides of this, but many of the reforms in this piece of legislation are specific things that she has been critical of the United States Senate for not acting on. For both Cory Booker and Kamala Harris, not people that you would normally expect to partner with Republicans, Jordan, again, it's an opportunity to put action behind their words, and we would ask our listeners to do the same. Put actions behind your support and call these two senators and ask them to do something to back up their words.
Now, we have 13 total senators on this list. These are all Democrats. Remember, the goal is to at least get to seven so that you get you move forward with cloture and you can proceed to debate on the Justice Act. So you just heard about five of them: Cory Booker, Chris Coons, Kamala Harris, Doug Jones, and Gene Shaheen. At ACLJ.org, on the blog, The Senate Can't Stay Silent, It's Time to Debate the Justice Act, we have all of their names, what state they're from, and their phone number. And we give you basically what to do. Ask them to vote to begin the important debate on the floor of the U.S. Senate on the Justice Act. That's it. Very simple. And be very polite. Be kind. We want these individuals to vote along to allow debate. So it's not about getting into an argument or putting pressure. It's about asking them, encouraging them to vote to allow the debate. That's all we're asking. Vote to allow the debate. Let me go through the other names as well, because we're talking to the whole country right now. And if you want to talk to us on air, by the way, we'd love to get your comments, your thoughts, your questions on the Justice Act. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. Here are the other names we've got listed. Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania. And again, you'll see on ACLJ.org, on this blog, it's the each number, phone number is different because this is the number to his actual D.C. office. So Senator Bob Casey, Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, definitely someone. I mean, I think everybody who can make a call should call his office because, again, I think he's very gettable on this kind of vote, especially now that Nancy Pelosi said she wants to get to conference. So Joe Manchin, West Virginia. Jackie Rosen in Nevada, Bernie Sanders in Vermont, Kristen Sinema in Arizona, John Tester in Montana, and interesting enough, Elizabeth Warren in Massachusetts. Than, let me ask you about a few of those that were a little bit surprising. I wasn't surprised with Tim Kaine, Doug Jones, Joe Manchin. Tell us about Jackie Rosen first in Nevada.
Well, I think that's mostly a byproduct of the demographics in Nevada, Jordan. It is a swing state. It is a state that she was narrowly reelected in. It's a state that she is going to have to show a willingness to work across party lines in order to keep her seat. And as you know, that is a big impetus for every United States senator, responding to their constituents. Jordan, I think the people of Nevada are probably 80-20 on this issue. They want to see this bill debated. And I think Jackie Rosen has an obligation to them to engage that debate. That's why she's on that list. And quite frankly, her constituents need to know, Jordan, whether or not she is willing to engage this. If she's not, when she goes back to them for a vote, she's not up this cycle, but when she goes back to them, they need to know that while she campaigned on a promise to work across party lines, even on an issue of this magnitude, she was not willing to enter into that debate. So I would piggyback on the words that you said, Jordan. Be respectful, because I think she is gettable. I think she can do the right thing, but I don't think there's any excuse for her not doing the right thing on this one.
Okay. Now let me ask you about Bernie Sanders. That may be one that surprises people also. And I'd add with Bernie Sanders also someone like Elizabeth Warren.
Yep. I those are the two that are probably going to surprise people, Jordan, and I would give you essentially the same answer for the both of them. While they typically do not work across party lines, they have just come off a presidential campaign trail where you heard time and time again about the need for equal justice. You heard about the income disparity. You heard about double standards of justice for people of different races. Again, Jordan, my question to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren was that campaign rhetoric, or will you use your position as a United States senator to actually accomplish the ideals that you told voters you were all about? Look, on some of these issues, they're going to come up with policies, proposals that are very, very different than Senate Republicans. This is not that situation, Jordan. This is a situation where Tim Scott has put forward a bill that has significant amounts of overlap with the bill that Speaker Pelosi put forward. So my question to Senator Sanders and Senator Warren is, are you willing to take a giant step forward? We can leave some of the other topics for a later day. We can debate them. You might win, you might lose, but there is a lot of common ground here. Were those empty campaign words, or are you willing to engage this debate across party lines?
We're going to take your phone calls, folks, 1-800-684-3110, your comments as well. Give us a call now. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And by the way, a new petition up at ACLJ.org as well. It's important for you to sign this petition. This is brand new, supporting the Justice Act. So go to ACLJ.org, sign that petition, and if you can make a donation, donate today at ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line: we could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're going to continue to talk about what is also, as we encourage you to take grassroots activism here, and we've got up at ACLJ.org and we've gone through, and we'll do it again later in the broadcast, the 13 Democrat U.S. senators we believe all of you should contact directly, as well as your two U.S. senators, whoever they happen to be, to encourage them to vote yes on moving forward on the debate on the Justice Act. That's all you're doing. And on our blog, which is right up at ACLJ.org, it's called The Senate Can't Stay Silent. We just published it right before we went on air today. We have the direct line numbers for each of these senators. So you won't be calling the Capitol switchboard. You'll be calling directly to their office. And those 13 are listed there for you, as well as what you need to encourage them to do. Of course, do it politely. We want people to come together on this. We want to get more than seven Democrats coming together on this. But this started off pretty nasty yesterday with Democrat leadership. Dick Durbin, who is the Democratic whip, I mean, so a very high-ranking Democrat U.S. senator, had this to say. Now, think about this and listen closely. He said this on the Senate floor in response to Senator Tim Scott, an African-American U.S. senator, happens to be a Republican, also happens to be the sponsor of the Justice Act. And Dick Durbin, a white guy, has this to say about the bill while he's talking to Tim Scott, by 31.
So what we say on the Democratic side is we cannot waste this historic moment, this singular opportunity. Let's not do something that is a token, half-hearted approach. Excuse me. Let's focus instead on making a change that'll make a difference in the future of America.
Now, that is offensive in so many ways. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. 1-800-684-3110. Using that word token when he is directly communicating to Senator Tim Scott, who's African-American, about legislation Tim Scott is sponsoring, the Justice Act. Now, Tim Scott, and I retweeted this, he had a funny tweet, but he made a much more serious statement. His tweet, can we put it up on the screen for everybody? His tweet was to Dick Durbin, and it said, "Y'all still wearing those kente cloths over there at Senator Durbin?" And remember, that's when they wore the traditional African basically like a scarf, an African scarf, traditional clothing, and they went and they kneeled for the 8 minutes. So he wrote that immediately in response to this token comment. But listen to what Tim Scott said in response on the Senate floor in a much more serious way, Bite 13.
To think that on this day, as we try to make sure that fewer people lose confidence in this nation, to have the senator from Illinois refer to this process, this bill, this opportunity to restore hope and confidence and trust from the American people, from African Americans, from communities of color, to call this a token process hurts my soul.
I want your thoughts on this, folks. 1-800-684-3110. Dick Durbin, by the way, he didn't respond and apologize. He had his spokesperson do it. Shame on him for not even having the goodness to make a statement that was actually, by the way, on audio so people could play it and hear it, but instead puts out a written statement through his spokesperson saying, the minute Senator Durbin heard that he had offended Senator Scott, not the minute he said called it token, but when he heard that, oh, it offended Senator Scott, he sought him out on the floor and apologized. What Senator Durbin took issue with in his floor speech was not Senator Scott's bill. That's interesting, because he called it token, half-hearted approach, but that it would short-circuit the critical debate and fail to make changes needed to prevent the killing of black Americans by police officers. Wait, I thought then that is about the bill. So, again, an apology not accepted. If I was in Tim Scott's position, he's probably a much nicer guy than I am. I want to go to Harry Hutchinson from our legal and policy team. Harry, this incident on the Senate floor at a time when race relations in the country are at some of its most heated moments, but also in a good way are being discussed in a positive way, where people are teaching their kids about it and people are trying to learn more about it and educate themselves and do good things. You have Dick Durbin, white senator from Illinois, make this token reference right on the Senate floor. And then you heard how Tim Scott, Harry, responded that this that actually, it hurt his soul. I mean, he had that funny tweet response right back at him, which I think was good. But what do you think about this, Harry? I mean, that this is still happening in 2020 at a moment when people you'd think would be, especially Democrats, I thought they're politically correct and so sensitive, except for when it comes to the black U.S. senator.
Jordan, your analysis is spot on. Dick Durbin has the temerity to call Senator Scott's proposal tokenism, which is consistent with the Democratic Party's lack of respect for independent-minded African Americans. Keep in mind that Democrats have typically showered their praise on African Americans when and if African Americans allow their mind to be held captive to a party that has disproportionately targeted African Americans. And I recommend readers and listeners, they should read a book called Wilmington's Lie, The Murderous Coup of 1898 and the Rise of White Supremacy. It was led by Democrats. So Senator Dick Durbin ought to review history. He ought to review the history engaged in the so-called progressive movement, which again disproportionately targeted African Americans, including individuals like Margaret Sanger.
Can you believe, folks? I mean, in 2020, a U.S. senator, Dick Durbin stature, would use the word token like that in response to Tim Scott on the floor of the U.S. Senate, when we all know the connotations of that term. I mean, it's disgusting. And then his apology is that, hey, I walked up to him and apologized, but he didn't make an actual public apology to all the other people it hurt, as Tim Scott said. He made an apology than through a spokesperson, which was no apology at all. It was a political statement.
It was beyond the pale, Jordan. And I would tell you, I would recommend to all of our listeners after the show to pull up the 16-minute floor response that Senator Scott gave in response. I think it's worth watching. The thing is, Jordan, Senator Durbin knew what he was saying. If you watch the video of it, if you see the voice inflection, if you see his reaction, he knew the word that he was making. And Jordan, the other thing that was really offensive to me, this might be a little bit wonky, but he used the phrase, you're trying to short-circuit the debate. Jordan, I'm going to say this again. The very thing that the Senate is considering right now is if they are willing to debate the Scott bill. Senator Durbin actually has a lot of agreement with the bill, or at least he has said that he has a lot of agreement with the bill. But what he is doing is actively and procedurally blocking the debate on the bill. So to use the word token and then to say that Senator Scott is the one trying to short circuit the debate when the vote that is pending on the floor of the Senate is whether or not Senator Durbin is willing to begin that debate. How about we begin that debate? Senator Durbin can bring any amendment to the floor he wants, have it debated and voted on, and then have the courage to cast a vote on an issue of this significant. Let's quit playing political games. Let's quit using racial attacks. Let's actually do your job and engage this debate on the floor of the U.S. Senate.
Folks, I want to hear from you. Second half hour coming up. We're going to start taking phone calls and walking through the actual legislation. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. And I'd love to hear from some of our African-American listeners about Dick Durbin using this term token in response to Senator Tim Scott. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Go to ACLJ.org, sign the petition. We need your grassroots support. ACLJ.org, take action.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live,
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, and welcome back. If you joined us in our first half hour, if you're just joining us, welcome to the broadcast. We are talking about the Justice Act, and we have got a grassroots action plan for you we need you to take. We've got it on our website at aclj.org. We'll walk through it again one more time in the second half of the show as we take phone calls and explain what is in Senator Tim Scott's Justice Act, which, by the way, all 53 Senate Republicans support, and as Stan went through, it will likely get a vote on the motion to proceed. That's not a motion to pass, but a motion to proceed on Monday. So we need you to do something between now and Monday. Stan, tell people where they need to go on our website and what they need to do.
And right at the top of ACLJ.org, you'll see the blog that you put up, Jordan. We're asking for three specific action items. First, we'd like you to sign the petition in favor of responsible police reform. We will be using that on Capitol Hill in both the House and the Senate to push for this common sense piece of legislation. Second, we would like you to contact both of your U.S. senators, whether they're Republican, Democrat, or otherwise, Jordan, to express your support for the United States Senate engaging this debate. And then third, we have compiled a list of 13 Democrats, the only reason they're all Democrats, Jordan, is because all 53 Republicans have expressed support for engaging this debate. And so we need seven Democrats to join with those 53 Republicans to essentially end what is a filibuster of beginning this debate. They have to pass the motion to proceed to begin the debate. It requires 60 votes. Jordan, the list of 13 that we have picked, some of them come onto the list for different reasons. Some of them are in cycle, so they'll be more responsive to the appeals of their voters, their constituents. Some of them are more moderate members, Jordan, who have a history of crossing party lines for votes like this. And then some of them are far left liberal champions, I would call them, Jordan, and they have repeatedly advocated for the reforms similar to the ones that are in this bill. And I would put Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, Bernie Sanders, and Elizabeth Warren in that list. Typically, they would not be on a target list like this, Jordan, but this is an opportunity for them to show that they mean it when they say that they want reforms like these. They are in the bill offered by Senator Scott. Are those four senators willing to engage that debate? That's all we're asking for. Begin the debate, and then you can make up your mind at the end after the amendment process whether or not it's a package that you can support.
So Joyce on Facebook, she writes in, where can we find the main points of the Justice Act? Now, we're going to talk about that, but if you want the main points and you want it from the ACLJ, we've got it for you. We published last night, so it's right on the homepage of aclj.org. It's called Striving for a More Perfect Union. It's time for responsible police reform. Joyce, that has the main points of the Justice Act. So it's right there for you. We're going to walk through some of that on the broadcast today, but it's also up at aclj.org. I want to go to the phones and take a call. Lynette in New York, online too. Lynette, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
God bless you, Jordan. Thank you so much for taking my call. And thank you for all the wonderful work that you always have been doing, but especially now on this issue. I'm very, very proud of you and pray for all of you regularly.
We appreciate that. Thank you.
And again, thank you so much for taking my call. As a Black woman who has occasionally been pulled over for driving while Black and female, I have an extreme appreciation for the real police, I believe about a million or so real police in this nation. But I think that what's going on now with the bill that Senator Scott has put forth is that the Democrats do not want to see people going back and looking at history, looking at facts.
Yeah.
And to see that they have always been on the side of opposing anything that deals with unity.
Lynette, I'm just jumping in because we've only got 30 seconds here. And you know what I think? And Harry, just quickly, they don't want the Republicans or Donald Trump to get the victory on this, or even Tim Scott. They don't want Republicans passing this kind of reform like he did with criminal justice reform.
Jordan, you're absolutely correct. Keep in mind the Democrats wore kente cloth.
Yeah, they wore their kente cloth, but they forget Donald Trump did criminal justice reform. He's about to do the Justice Act.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I want to start working through pieces of this legislation and taking phone calls as well. Let me play this. This is from Senator Tim Scott when he talked about introducing this legislation, the Justice Act, which is the Just and Unifying Solutions to Invigorate Communities Everywhere. By the way, Title I on Law Enforcement Reform, Section 101, is named after George Floyd, and it's called the George Floyd and Walter Scott Notification Act. Take a listen to Tim Scott, Bite 25.
That's why I started my legislative day today with remembering Mother Emanuel. It's why I read my Bible next because I knew I needed a little extra strength. And it's why I turned immediately to my first interview trying to talk about police reform, because as a guy who's been stopped 18 times in the years of the 2000s, I take it seriously. Being stopped 7 times in a single year, being stopped this year, being stopped last November, being stopped coming into the Senate with my pen on.
I'm going to go to Harry Hutchison on this. I mean, Harry, he talks about, by the way, yesterday when his bill and the term token was used to refer to Tim Scott's legislation, Tim Scott being the only African-American Republican U.S. senator, it happened to be the 5th anniversary of that horrendous shooting at the African American church in Charleston that led to so many losses of life. And then Tim Scott talks about his personal experience as a U.S. senator getting stopped going into the Senate with his U.S. senator pin on. They have special pins for U.S. senators so they don't have to go through security. They don't have to wait in line. They shouldn't have to. It's their offices, right? Still being stopped. Getting stopped 7 times in a single year while driving his car. He calls it being stopped and pulled over for being an African-American man driving while black. I mean, Harry, just this thought that he knows he needs this extra strength because of the attacks from the left are so nasty.
Absolutely. So the left fails to appreciate Tim Scott's experiences. The left also fails to appreciate the experiences of most African-American males in the United States. We should keep in mind one thing when we talk about police reform. Most of the highly publicized incidents involving excessive force by police officers. They occur in jurisdictions which are largely controlled by so-called progressive, left-wing, and often Democratic politicians. So Democratic politicians, they often like to talk a good game. But when it comes to actually delivering reform, they tend to oppose it, in part because they want to continue to use race as a wedge issue rather than actually solving the race problem or the disparity in police and perhaps police bias. They don't want to really solve those issues, it seems to me. If you actually look at Senator Tim Scott's bill, it would improve things dramatically. And yet, at the end of the day, Dick Durbin refers to the bill as simply a token. They don't want Senator Scott's bill to pass, in my view, and that is bad news for America.
Let me go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Then we're going to start working through the legislation itself. And remember, we've got your action item up at aclj.org in that blog so that you know who to call. 13 Democrat senators to call. You have between now and really today, Friday, and Monday morning, because there's going to be a vote on Monday. We have the 13 listed, and we encourage you to also call your two U.S. senators with the 13 listed that we believe, and Than put together our government affairs team. These are 13 of the most likely to vote with the Republicans. We need 7 of them to join the 53 Republicans to get to 60 to move forward on the motion to begin debate. So you can do that. The blog's called The Senate Can't Stay Silent. It's time to debate the Justice Act. So go there and make sure to make those phone calls. And if you can only make 5, we've encouraged you, if you can only make 5, call Senator Cory Booker, Senator Chris Coons, Senator Kamala Harris, Senator Doug Jones. I'd add Senator Joe Manchin, by the way, because of some recent comments he just made, and Senator Jeanne Shaheen. So make those 6 calls if you can only make 6. Let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Jeanette in California on line 3. Jeanette, welcome to JSecio Live.
Thank you very much for accepting my call. I am a fervent listener to your program. I appreciate all of you very much.
We appreciate you. Thank you.
I'm calling in regards to, I am an African-American woman, and I have grandsons, I have a husband, and I have a son. So I'm sensitive to the Justice Act. I would like to make the comment in regards to the word token. I am an experienced educator of many years. I have heard this word. I've been born in Birmingham, Alabama. I've heard this word continually since childhood. Mm-hmm. Senator Durbin needs a dosage of sensitivity, and many, many other people need dosages of sensitivity to try and understand what other people are going through. I recommend the reform of police. I wrote in my article, which I publish weekly through the LA Sentinel. Great. I wrote in my article that what we need is better training for our police yep. forces. And this is my belief, that any time you do something repeatedly, it becomes a habit. It becomes where people are not paying attention. It's extremely unfortunate yep. that it had to come to this place where people refuse to acknowledge that African-American men are valuable, as all other male people are. I highly admire. I'm a person who's quite involved with fatherless. I have charter schools, and the racism is so thick, even with our charter school education. I hope you will begin to attack this racism. They want to close our school down, new school, 500 children in Inglewood, California. They want to close our school down, and they are fervently fighting to do that. I hope you'll attack education as the next subject.
You know, it's interesting because, Jeanette, I'll give you a little preview. We are. Probably starting next week, actually, Jeanette. And by the way, hang on the line. I would love to get a copy of your opinion piece from the LA Sentinel. So hang on. You could tell our call screener how we can get your article so that we can see that. I really appreciate your phone call. Harry, actually, you know, we have you on the air only just for a couple more minutes because you are working on exactly what Jeanette talked about addressing next, which is, and by the way, we're going to address what Jeanette said about training because that's in the Justice Act. So we'll talk about that with Than. But Harry, we are working right now. I know you're working very hard with our legal team, with a team of attorneys on a new kind of, well, tell people what we're working on when it comes to education and helping those in underserved communities and underserved schools.
Jordan, we are working on a program that would advance justice by expanding school choice. This is an issue that is not frequently discussed, particularly by progressive politicians. So instead of dealing with educational disadvantage, which is a dramatic problem in the United States, we continue to allow performance gaps between school districts and school children to grow and fester. This must end, and I think next week we will be announcing a program that attacks this issue head on.
All right, so there you go, Jeanette. And for everybody out there, a little preview that we believe, as President Trump said, you know, you could do this criminal justice reform like he's done. You could do the police reform that is necessary, and we're supporting the Justice Act. We support the president's executive order. Want to give that teeth. You give an executive order teeth by passing forward legislation. And then in the Justice Act, which we break through online in our blog, but there is a section specifically on training. Title 6 is alternatives to the use of force, de-escalation, behavioral health crises, and duty to intervene training. That's just one part of the new training aspect within the Justice Act.
Yeah, Title 6, there are 11 titles, and most of the titles have some form of training in them, including the most robust Title 1 with no-knock warrants and incentives to ban chokeholds. Training's all the way through. And Jordan, just quickly, I was able to read a few words that Dr. Jeanette penned in the LA Sentinel. One of the things that she wants us to do is tell our children to say something when they see something. I have heard that time and time again from my friends as well. So well said, Dr. Jeanette.
Jeanette, we really appreciate your phone call and checking out that blog up. We see it at the LA Sentinel. Maybe I'll tweet that out later today if you follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSecula. So hopefully we can let you know, Jeanette, know maybe that that'll be out on Twitter. We'll be right back on JSecula Live taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, take action. Go to aclj.org, brand new petition to support this legislation. Sign it.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'll get to the calls in just a minute if you want to talk to us on air. We do have one call that's been holding on for a long time. So we'll go first to Sandra and then Cordell. We'll get to you in just a minute as well. And if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's what we do in our final segment, as well as continue to work through this legislation with you so you know what's in it. We also have a blog up so that if this is a lot to take in about what's in the law, you know, what the kind of reforms are in the law, the law enforcement reforms, the reporting on no-knocks warrants, the incentivizing chokehold bans, increased penalties for false police reports, body cameras, and penalties for failing to ensure their correct usage, law enforcement record retention, justice for victims of lynching, making lynching a federal crime, a commission on the Social Status of Black Men and Boys Act, and that's a commission to look at the conditions affecting black men and boys, including education, which we just talked about. We're going to be launching something on healthcare, financial status, criminal justice system as a whole. Title six is alternatives to the use of force, de-escalation, behavioral health crises, and duty to intervene training. That's developing that de-escalation techniques using therapists as well to go in when there's domestic violence situations, drug situations, homelessness, and try and de-escalate. A National Criminal Justice Commissions Act, so that there's a new commission to look at the comprehensive review of the criminal justice system. Title eight is the law enforcement agency hiring and education, so that the personnel are reflective of the community they serve. And Title nine, best practices and studies. So again, to start looking at what is best to do and how to handle it within the community. Use of force reviews, law enforcement officers' engagement on issues of mental health, homelessness, addiction, and improving accountability for DOJ grants, the money they get from the federal government from your taxpayer dollars. Title 10 is closing the Law Enforcement Consent Loophole Act, so making it unlawful for a federal law enforcement officer to engage in a sexual act while acting under color of law or within an individual who is under arrest, in detention, or in the officer's custody. I mean, think about that is a loophole right now in the law. So, I mean, so many reasons. Of course, there's emergency funding and as well. And Title I, the Law Enforcement Reforms, is actually titled, Section 101 is titled the George Floyd and Walter Scott Notification Act, which it's just a great tribute to them. And Senator Scott doing a great job, and those who co-sponsored this with him in putting together the Justice Act that we are supporting. Let's go right to the phone. Sandra in Texas on line one. Sandra, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you for your work. And I'm wondering if I should call these named senators if I'm not a resident of their state.
You know, this is a national issue. So we've encouraged you, Sandra, to call both of your U.S. senators. Now, in your case, we know that in Texas, they're both likely to be the 50th, both Senator Cornyn, Senator Cruz are going to be supporting Tim Scott's legislation. But Than, on a national issue like this, and this is a national issue, these 13 senators, it does not matter if you live in their state or not. They are U.S. senators. There's only 100 of them, and it is critical that at least seven Democrats cross over by Monday and let this move forward to an actual debate on the legislation.
That's right. The answer is it is 100% okay to call senators that are not from your home state. Jordan, from working on the Hill, I can tell you the offices look at two criteria. They do look first at how many in their state or their district are calling in to gauge what their district feels, but they also look at total volume of calls and contacts to see what the nation is feeling. And Jordan, I think it's disproportionately so in a case like this, where, like you said, it's setting national policy. I think these 13 senators need to know that their state feels strongly, and and also that the whole state feels strongly. And Jordan, just quickly, I'll tell you, that's what we do with the petition as well. Yes, we break it down and we tell senators how many people in their state favor this, but we also tell them how many as a whole have signed our petition, just to give them a magnitude and a glimpse at what's happening nationwide. So 100% okay to call them, even if you're not from that state.
All right, so there you go, Sander. We encourage you again, and we'll go through that list at the very end of the broadcast. But let's take these phone calls. Cordell in New York on line four. Cordell, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Jordan and the team, great to speak with you guys once again. I'm a longstanding supporter of the ACLJ. I am so grateful for the tremendous work that this team does.
We're grateful for your support. Thank you.
Absolutely. So with regards to your specific question about Dick Durbin, it's obviously he was race baiting. It's reprehensible, the term that what he was trying to do. And there are certain trigger words, and token is one of them, tokenism similarly. And, you know, the scripture says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I believe that's what was coming out, what he actually felt. And the fact that Senator Tim Scott decided to take the high road is great. But I just wanted to say one other thing with regards to expanding school choice. Our president is, I mean, he really has his eye on the ball. That is such a critical issue. Yep. For my wife and I. We actually homeschooled our children, which obviously was our own expense here in New York, in order to get them to get better education, because the schools in our immediate environment was they're basically subpar. So none of our children have actually gone to any of the schools in our neighborhood. So this is another great point. So again, thank you. Thank you to the ACLJ for what you're doing. We support Senator Scott. You know who my senators are. I'm still going to call them, but we support Senator Scott and what you guys are doing. God bless you.
We appreciate you calling your U.S. senators, Cordell, and we encourage you as well. Look at that list of 13 up at ACLJ.org, and if you can call some of those, that would be great as well. Let's go to Cambria's call in Utah on line two. Cambria, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Thank you, and for all the work that you do.
Thank you.
In regards to the subject at hand, there are nationally accredited law enforcement agencies called basically CALEA, and I'm proud to say that my city in West Valley is accredited, and they have multiple tiers, and part of that training includes all these things that everybody's been discussing. And it's really fabulous. I have an inside view because I used to be a chaplain with them.
Got it.
And they address all that stuff. So these things do exist.
Right.
And I just don't think it's too bad the federal government has to get involved.
I think we're at a point where the federal government does have to get involved, because there's just too much of this. We're seeing it now because everyone's got a camera on them. There's too much police abuse. Too much, this focus in on African Americans, targeting of African American, specifically males, but females as well, and minorities, and whether it is racism, prejudice, it is wrong. It's got to be addressed. And by the way, like you said, and Than, this is important, because the Justice Act isn't about just compelling every police department to do something or else. It's going to look at places like Cambria talked about in Utah on best practices and studies, and that may be actually a model. Police precinct, where she was a chaplain, may become a model for other police departments.
I love closing with Cambria's call, Jordan, because this is why I personally prefer Senator Scott's approach, because you wouldn't want to strip away what Cambria is doing and pull it to the federal government to mandate that it be redone. No, you want to incentivize local jurisdictions and states to do what Cambria is doing. That's the approach that Senator Scott's takes. I agree with you, Jordan. It's time for the federal government to engage, but let's do it in a way that actually builds on what's working on a local level.
All right, folks, here's your action items. Go to ACLJ.org right now. Sign the petition. Vote on critical police reform. We'll deliver this to Congress. So you can sign that petition very quickly at ACLJ.org. Also, check out the latest blog, The Senate Can't Stay Silent. It's right up there. It has the 13 U.S. senators with their direct phone numbers for you to call, asking them to vote to begin the debate on the Justice Act. Do that. You go to ACLJ.org. And if you can, donate online, ACLJ.org. Remember, we've got that, as Cordell said, education coming next at ACLJ.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org. where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.